big news. Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here. Right now, get up to 80% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, seasonal decor, and way more. All at Wayfair. These are Wayfair's best deals of the year. From seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, enjoy fast and free shipping with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 80% off during Wayfair's Black Friday sale. Now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
There's plenty of things to talk about. So sit down at Corster's Lounge. From far and near, won't you come and hear a sweet, melodious call? Let us all unite in one accord. We're family after all. So let's settle down and listen to the sounds of the singers in Corster's Lounge. There's plenty of things to talk about. So sit down at the lounge.
Hello again and welcome to our YouTube audience. Welcome to another episode of the Corister's Lounge. My name is Matthew Caldwell, and I want to thank you for journeying into the Corister's Lounge again. I want to continue to ask that you like, share, and subscribe our various channels and our various mediums. Thank you for being part of the journey. Thus far, we are slowly but surely adding wonderful content related to the Corister's Lounge on the various social avenues and social platforms that are out there. So just thank you all for continuing to share the good news. And if this is your first time joining us in the Corister's Lounge, welcome. And we certainly hope that what you see today and in the various episodes is useful for you. Today, we are pleased to start a series called Singing with the Spirit of Understanding. In one of our episodes previously, I believe it was The Art of Conducting, the word musicianship came up. And part of the process of us engaging and enhancing our musicianship is to really take time to focus and analyze some of these songs that are in our musical canon that will hopefully give us a better understanding of the songs, a better understanding maybe of some of the history, whether it's biblical history or contemporary history, that allows us as choristers to really execute those songs at their highest point. And to do that, we've welcomed today a few of our younger choristers, just to kind of kick off this singing with the spirit of understanding kind of theme that we have. So looking forward to just some great conversations with them. There are no right or wrong answers here. You know, we're here just to kind of learn from each other. As the scripture says, iron sharpeneth iron. It's good to kind of get some different vantage points, not just from our seasoned choristers. A lot of these young choristers here are seasoned as well. We also kind of want to get some vantage points from our younger choristers as well. So we've compiled a group of younger choristers from the various districts within the Church of God Saints of Christ. So from the West District, District Number 1, we have St. Jada Young from Chicago, Illinois. All hail St. Jada. Yes, ma'am. Glad to have you. From District Number 2, from Hartford, Connecticut, we have Brother Isaiah Smith. All hail, sir.
All hail, doctor.
From the Central District, we have Brother Josh Toombs. All hail, sir.
All hail, sir. All hail.
Yes, sir. And then from the South, from Durham Mission, we have St. Edith Lester. All hail, ma'am. Is it well?
All hail, sir. All is well.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And of course, as always, behind the screen, behind the glass, so to speak, we have Brother Blake Housen. He's always here guiding the conversation, just guiding these episodes as things go. But I am always intrigued by the perspective of our young choruses. But before we jump into the conversation, as you all know, as is the custom here in the Choristers Lounge, anytime a chorister enters the Choristers Lounge for the first time, I ask them a question. Right. So we'll just kind of go and we'll go in reverse this time. So I'll start with St. Edith. St. Edith, when, where, and by whom were you appointed a chorister?
I was made a chorister April 1st, 2017. right, it was a 2017 Passover in Hartford, Connecticut, by my father.
And who is your father?
Brother Aaron D. Roberts.
Amen. Amen and amen, amen. All right, and sliding right on back up to the Central District, Brother Josh, when, where, and by whom were you appointed a chorister, sir?
I was made a chorister beginning of the Sabbath, April 5th, 2024, in Alexandria, Virginia, by Elder Anthony Benson Sr.
All right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. All right. And sliding back on up to the North District, I think your answer is going to be similar to what St. Ether just said. So, Brother Isaiah, when, where, and by whom were you appointed a chorister?
I was made a chorister April the 1st of 2017, right along with St. Edith in Hartford, Connecticut, by Elder Aaron Roberts.
Amen, amen. And last but not least, St. Jada, when, where, and by whom were you appointed a chorister?
I was appointed a chorister December 7, 2019 in Chicago, Illinois, on a beautiful Sabbath day morning.
Amen, amen, amen. And by whom? Who appointed you?
I was appointed by Elder James Holly, the third.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So we have three of these choristers appointed in April, one appointed in December. God bless. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. All right. So jumping into, and thank you for sharing that history. It's important just kind of as you all progress in your various, in your musical journey, just in your sojourn here in the House of Israel, you know, take note of those personal historical moments in your own life, right? Because they all just kind of help shape your own journey, right? So as we're jumping into our Singing with the Spirit of Understanding theme, the way that we thought to structure the episode, we gave our panelists two themes, and with each theme, we have two songs associated with that theme, just to kind of see if we can meet, marry, and merge some thoughts, some concepts with those two themes and with those applicable songs. So the first theme that we have is this concept or the idea of the right hand of God, the right hand of God. And the two songs that we want to analyze and focus on underneath that theme, the right hand of God, are the songs, "And I Will Sing Praise to My God," and "The Lord is a Man of War." All right. So what we're going to do is we're going to read the lyrics of each of those songs, and then kind of open it up to discussion amongst the panelists just to kind of see what thoughts they have. Again, no right or wrong answers. I, in college, I graduated with a degree in English. All right. And a lot of people say, well, does that mean that you were going to teach, or, you know, what exactly were you going to do with that? And I really didn't know. But what I can tell you is that all that English degree really did for me was, of course, it allowed me to better communicate specific arguments and specific vantage points, right? So it's not a matter of being right or wrong. It's being a matter of being able to explain and present an argument, right? So we're not looking at right or wrong answers. We just kind of want to see what thoughts are coming from your mind. So again, first theme, the right hand of God. And let's look at it in relation to our first song, "I Will Sing Praise to My God." So those of you that are watching in the YouTube world, I do recommend, if you have your hymnals, you know, feel free to pull them out. You have your Bibles. We may be doing some scriptural references here as well. It's always good to have a dictionary as well, because who knows, we might need to identify some terms. So "I Will Sing Praise to My God" is found on page 104 in the hymnal. And the first verse, I'm just going to kind of read it as a narrative, as prose, without the aftertones and all that good stuff, right? So the first verse reads as follows. "And I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. Unto the Lord, as long as I live, while I live will I praise God. Great and marvelous art thy works, for he has done marvelous things. So will I sing songs with the singers. I will sing praise to my God." Any thoughts on that first verse from anyone?
So,
yes, ma'am.
As far as this verse, it's just giving praise to God, acknowledging his greatness, his works, all that he's done. It's just giving praise.
Amen. Amen. Any other thoughts there? Okay. So then we'll go to the next verse. And this is where we first hear of this term, singing with the spirit of understanding. Sing unto the Lord a new song, for his mercy endureth forever. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So will I sing praise unto thy name. Sing with the spirit of understanding. I'll sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. Any thoughts there? And so I'll say there are two things that come to mind. So first, of course, we just talked about that phrase, singing with the spirit of understanding. And then the second thing is we actually hear a little bit of the singer's oath in that last line, right, of the second verse. I'll sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So, of course, singer's oath is found in Psalm 101. Singing with the spirit of understanding, if I'm not mistaken, is actually a New Testament scripture, if you all can find that. So that's something else to think about as well. Any other thoughts?
I think the first two verses culminates into, you know, a glorified reason on why we sing, right? What we're singing for, what we're singing towards, and who we're singing to. Singing with the spirit of understanding, singing the mercy and judgment. Those are reasons why we sing, that we're called to sing for. Yeah, I think just like you said, this is really showing God his due praise.
A quick thought to add to that as well. With the spirit of understanding, it takes me over to Proverbs 4 and 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all I getting, get understanding. So I think it's an affirmation. This verse is like a kind of an affirmation because it says a lot of I. If you read, it's a lot of I will, a lot of affirmation, a lot of I'm going to do these things. And also like a detail of telling, like, serve the Lord, how to serve. But the spirit of understanding to me kind of brings you back to that, the verse in Proverbs.
That's beautiful. So I'll say this about, I thought that was a great illustration from both of you. When it comes to Psalm 101, a point that is interesting is when it says, I will sing of mercy and judgment. And this is just something to think about. Mercy and judgment in that sense are meant to be opposites, right? So, of course, we know we sing about the merciful God, right? Mm-hmm. But on the other side of that, when the Lord takes hold of judgment, we have to deal with that God as well, right? So yes, there's a duality there. You know, yes, God is merciful, God is gracious, but we also have to admit, and as singers, part of our responsibility is prophetic in that sense, letting people know that there is a flip side to mercy, right? And that flip side can be judging. And it's just an acknowledgement of all those things, right? We deal with both of those dualities, both the good, the mercy side, and maybe the flip side, the judgment part as well. But either way, you know, all those things belong to the Most High. All right. So again, the third verse where the bass comes in, I will praise thee, O Lord. I will praise thee among the people. I will sing unto thee among the people. I think that's pretty self-explanatory there. We'll go to the next verse. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Lord. Show forth his salvation from day to day, his right hand and his holy arm. There it goes. And got the victory. So again, we're talking about that theme, the right hand of God, the right hand of God. And that's where we see it first introduced in this song. So up to this point, we're talking about, like St. Edith said, the greatness of God. Brother Isaiah said it's a very personal type of experience here. And Brother Toon said the same thing. Sing, rejoice, O daughter of Zion, awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Lord, show forth his salvation from day to day, his right hand and his holy arm have got the victory. What do we think?
I think when it comes to that verse in particular, especially speaking on the right hand of God, the right hand of God is known to be the hand of God's strength, the hand that God uses to execute his judgment, the hand that God uses to lay down his law. It represents the strength of God and his right hand. It's you're singing towards the Lord to execute his judgment. Not that, and that doesn't have to always be a bad thing, but you're singing to God to show his strength, to show, and that can be in your life, that can be in the situation. You're singing to God to use his right hand, which is, metaphorically speaking, the hand of his strength, to lift you up in any way necessary.
Okay. All right. All right. Anything else? So there's a word that you just said in there that I want us to look up. So we're going to pull out our dictionaries here in a second, but any other thoughts on this?
I was just going to say it's like the personification of a spiritual experience.
The personification of a spiritual experience. Lord have mercy.
So, like, to put it, they're basically personifying God, right? So, like, for our human understanding, to say the right hand, that makes it easiest for makes it easier for us to understand the act in which God is doing something.
All right. Okay, so I'm gonna run over here to the west to talk to St. Jada real quick. But in the meantime, Brother Josh, if you can have a look up a word for me, you said metaphorically speaking. Let me find me the definition of the word metaphor, and then Brother Isaiah, find me the definition of personification. All right, that's important. Say St. Jada, what do you think?
To me, up to the point that we have read, it's a personal note. It's something personal. They're spilling out their feelings toward God and how he has done so much in their life. And they also start talking about how the strength and the mercy that he has shown in that person's life. I feel like this whole song is just like it's personal. It's really personal. It talks about, like, I'm trying to find the words.
You're doing great.
Find the words, but just rereading it, it feels like you're reading out of somebody's diary. Like, it's something very personal to them that God has shown them that he's there.
Yeah.
And he has that strength to build you up and help you. And all you can do is sing praise to him.
Yeah.
If you can't do anything else, that's the least you can do. Sing praise to his name. So I feel like it's a personal note. This entire song is like a personal letter to God.
Amen. Amen. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. So Edith, you have anything to add any to this point?
I have a couple of thoughts, piggybacking off of St. Jada, making it personal. Well, in the title, it says, my God, and normally in our songs, we usually say, our God. You know, we speak as a whole. So the personable aspect, it's in the title, my God, you know.
Yeah.
And then looking at his right hand and his holy arm, I just, growing up, my mother, St. Lucy Adair Morrison, in Sabbath school when we were in Southern Baptist. It's even different sermons from different people. When it came to healing, they always said, hold up your right hand, always the right. I'm a lefty. So, you know, sometimes it was a little backwards for me, but I've always thought of anything with the right hand. Is automatically, you know, that's what God, we're trying to be Christ, like we are trying to live within the framework of becoming it. So using the right hand is something very significant with God. That's all.
Oh, beautiful. So to that point, St. Edith and St. Jada, it's interesting to note that this song is not attributed to a composer. Right. And sometimes that's both unfortunate and fortunate in this sense. Right. It's unfortunate that we don't know, like the composer is lost to history and to time. Right. We may not ever know who was so moved to have this divine encounter with the Almighty that led to the birth of this song. So that's where it's unfortunate. But the fortunate part for the purposes of our conversation is just what you just said, right? It doesn't matter who the composer is for the conversation or for the idea of saying that this is about my God, right? It's personal to me, right? There's an experience that I had where I can truly sing praise to my God as long as I live and as long as I have my being. So not knowing the composer in that sense allows this song to be even that much more personal, like St. Jade and St. Edith was saying, because it becomes my own kind of personal testimony. What St. Jade said, it's almost like reading my own personal diary, right? That was powerful. So going back to these definitions, Brother Josh, metaphor, what did you find as far as the word metaphor?
And my tablet is there, so I wasn't able to pull up the dictionary like I wanted to.
What's your understanding of the word metaphor?
My understanding of the word metaphor is something that you can scale something else to. Not exactly a literal thing, but something to scale. Mm-hmm. Something to compare and make a comparison with by scale.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So according to my little dictionary here on my phone, it's a metaphor is a figure of speech in which a term or phrase is applied to something to which it is not literally applicable in order to suggest a resemblance. And the example that they give is actually a biblical example. It's as in a mighty fortress is our God, right? So it's making a comparison without using the words, you know, when we were in school, they said without using the words like or as, right? If you use the words like or as, that's a simile, right? Yeah. Whereas the metaphor is, like you said, a mighty fortress is our God, right? That's a metaphor. You're comparing our God to a mighty fortress, right? And so here we're talking about, you said, metaphorically speaking, God's strength, right, is metaphorically being compared to his right hand, right? That hand of his power, right? And like St. Edith said, it would be interesting to study what the left hand meant. What a person's left hand meant in biblical times, right? A lot of times you even hear it in contemporary times, some people would joke when you meet a left-handed person, like, I'm wrong-handed, right? Meaning that I'm left-handed, right? What does that mean, right? So it's almost as if there was something stronger on the right side as opposed to, and we know that not to be the case, right? Because there's also a scripture that said that God does work on the left hand too. But there's something a little bit more powerful from our humanistic experience when God puts on the strength of his right hand. All right. So that's metaphorically speaking. Okay. Brother Isaiah, you mentioned the word personification. What did you find as far as personification is concerned?
Attribution of a personal nature or human characteristics to something non-human, or the representation of an abstract quality in human form.
Boom. Amen. Amen. I'll come back to that in a second. We'll read these last two lines, which is kind of one of those almost, you know, those Kagasak rounds that you have where you have one voice is singing one thing and the other voices are doing something else. So the last verse is sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Lord, his right hand and his holy arm have got the victory. That's what the soprano is saying. And then the other harmonic voices are saying something slightly different. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Lord. Show forth his salvation from day to day. His right hand and his holy arm have got the victory. You repeat, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Awake, put on thy strength, O arm of the Lord. His right hand and his holy arm have got the victory. All right. So that's how the song ends. So anthropomorphic is very, very similar to what Brother Isaiah mentioned as far as personification is concerned. And basically what it means, it's ascribing human form or attributes to a being or a thing not human, especially a deity, right? Especially something divine, right? And the example that they gave, again, deals with the Hebrew scriptures. So much of what has been written of the anthropomorphic qualities of God of the Hebrew scriptures, or much has been written on the anthropomorphic qualities of the God of the Hebrew scriptures. So we have that scripture, God is a spirit, right? And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So is God a spirit? Is God, you know, human? The answer is yes, right? You can be both, right? How can you do though? You know, so much of what God is beyond our human understanding. We as humans can only describe him in words that make sense to me. Only that makes sense to us, right? So is God a man? Is God a woman? I don't know, right? But it was as if he was this, right? And when I'm talking about, like you said, God's strength, you know, the power of his strength, it's using that strong right hand that I'm used to understanding as the seat of strength that really makes it something I can describe in my own human limitations of language, right? So I'm going to ask you all a question just for the sake of the record, all right? And I'm going to kind of bring this piece to a close. St. Jada, how old are you?
I am 21 years old.
Brother Josh, how old are you, sir?
I am 24 years old.
St. Edith, how old are you?
Y'all got me feeling kind of old. I'm
28. Brother Isaiah, how old are you?
26.
So YouTube audience, as you can see, we have a powerful group. And this is just a representation of our young choristers that are around the kingdom. And this conversation for me personally has been edifying. Like I said, I'm, as you all know, I'm 37, you know, so I still consider myself to be, you know, a young man, but I have to admit that I'm getting a little bit older, that I've just been encouraged by what I've heard just by this conversation from, you know, this young group of courses. They're on fire, and their perspective certainly has encouraged and fortified me today. And what St. Jada just said, there's another song, not necessarily dealing with the right hand of God, but St. Jada was talking about Noah, all right? And there's a song in the songbook, Noah preached 120 years, all right? And I believe it's in that last verse, it says, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in these last days, all right? What exactly does that mean, right? St. Jada talked about a certain destruction coming by way of water, right? In the days of Noah, at the shores of the Red Sea, but there's also a resurrection that occurs in water as well, all right? And that's part of our immersion ceremony. I think Brother Josh talked about, you know, things that are served with the right hand during our whole armor. But even before that, right, there is a death that occurs at the immersion ceremony, but at the same time, there's also a resurrection. So again, talk about that duality that brother Isaiah was talking about, how there can be two things happening at the same time. And that just speaks to the power of God doing all that work on the right hand, right? But also working on the left hand, as Brother Josh said as well. So this has been absolutely wonderful. We only got to one of our themes today, YouTube audience. So we're going to have to come back and maybe deal with that other one a little bit later. But I hope that you all got something out of this. All right. So we have a new feature here in the Choristers Lounge. We're going to play a game. And this game is titled And basically what we're going to do here is we're going to give our panelists a word. And today the word we're asking that they find song titles that have that word in the title, right? So let's just say, for instance, let's say that I give you the word chorister, right? And each panelist has to say, I can name 5 songs that have the word chorister in the title. We're going to kind of go in order. So it'll be St. Jada, Brother Josh, St. Edith, Brother Isaiah, kind of in that revolving order. And then St. Jada would say, I can name 5 songs that have the word chorister in the title. Then go to Brother Josh. I can name 6 songs that have chorister in the title. It can go to St. Edith. St. Edith, if she feels that Brother Josh might be lying, she would say, that ain't in the hymnal. And then Brother Josh has to go and actually name all however many songs he said he could name that have that word in the title, right? It is going to be a scored little game here. I think it's going to the first round is 5 points. So if Brother Josh is able to prove that he knows, that he can prove that he knows all those songs that have chorister in the title, he gets 5 points. St. Edith would lose 5 points. All right. So that's kind of how we're going to try this out. This is the first time for us. It's going to have a little fun, you know, a little levity. We are not here to embarrass anybody. We're going to hopefully, you know, learn a little something and also, you know, just have a little fun here. So the first word, and we'll start with Saint Jada. The first word is the. So Saint Jada, how many songs do you know that have the word the in the title?
I can name 2.
Bro Josh?
I can name 3.
Saint Edith?
I can name 4.
Brother Isaiah?
I can name 5.
Saint Jada?
I can name 6.
Brother Josh?
I can name 7.
Saint Edith?
I can name 8.
Brother Isaiah?
I can name 9.
Saint Jada?
That ain't in the hell, no.
All right. Brother Isaiah, here we go.
All right. So the earth is the Lord's. The okay. First psalm. The Lord reigneth. The Lord is a man of war. The heavens declare. Did I say the hand of the Lord is upon him?
You did not.
Mm-hmm. The Lord has sent his angels down. How many seconds do I have left?
10.
The Lord 9, is my light.
8.
The Lord is 7, in his holy temple.
That's 9. That's 9.
Okay.
That's 9. Okay. That was 9. Yeah. All right. Brother Isaiah has 5. Saint Jada, let me
I know.
It's all good. It's all good. All right. That was good. that was all right. So that's round one. All right. Round two. Now we're gonna bump up the points. So round two, 10 points, or you lose 10 points. All right. So round two. So we're gonna start with brother Josh. The word is God. God, how many songs do you know that have God in the title? Brother Josh?
I can give you 3 songs of the word God.
Saint Edith?
I can do 4.
Brother Isaiah?
I can do 5.
Saint Jada?
I can do 6.
Brother Josh?
I can do 7.
Saint Edith?
I can do 8.
Brother Isaiah?
That ain't in the hymnal.
You know what? I know you can go through that to me. All right. All right.
What was the number? I lost
the number. I said eight. Oh, Lord. Okay.
Here we go, Saint Edith. All right. The floor is yours.
I bet so. Okay. God is our refuge and strength.
Okay.
The mighty God.
Okay.
Oh, God. Oh, no. Where's my 10 points today?
I'll give you 60 seconds total. So we're right about.
So the mighty God, God is our refuge and strength.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're at about 25.
I believe it. and it's in the title. Okay.
The title. Got about.
You know what? I'm gonna take my L. You got it. Don't worry about it. I see you at first grade. Don't worry about it.
Oh, Brother Isaiah.
It's all right.
Brother Isaiah, he gets another 10 points. Brother Isaiah has 15. It's Saint Eve. We got you.
Yes,
10 down. Right. 10 down. It's all good. All right. Third round. So now third round, we're going up. So the third round is up 15 points. All right. Now this one, these are songs composed by St. Virginia Bridie. Songs composed by St. Virginia Bridie. We're going to start with you, St. Edith. How many songs can you name that were composed by St. Virginia Bridie?
2. I can name 2.
Brother Isaiah?
3.
St. Jada?
I can name 4.
Brother Josh?
I can name 5.
Saint Edith?
I can name 6.
Brother Isaiah?
I can name 7.
Saint Jada?
I can name 8.
Brother Josh?
I can name 9.
Saint Edith?
That ain't in the hymnal.
Okay, nine. All right, Brother Josh, we have 1 minute to name nine songs composed by St. Virgin Brady. Go ahead, sir.
I Am the God. Mm-hmm. They appear great one in heaven. Mm-hmm. God's holy word. I rejoice in the Lord. I Daniel saw. My mm-hmm. God has raised up a friend. Ah. God is our refuge and strength. Oh, how beautiful. And one thing have I desired with the Lord.
My Lord, my Lord. All right,
you
sir.
Know, I'm just taking myself a hole. All right, and then, all right. That's negative 15, right? Well, okay.
It is. But it's all right. It's all right. So we've come to our last round. We're going to call this the bonus round. For the YouTube audience, we did kind of give the give our panelists some of these words in advance, at least the first three rounds, right? But this last bonus round is completely off the top of the head, right? So they don't know what I'm about to say. So because of that, you know, this round we'll make this round worth 30 points, right? Ooh. We'll make this round worth 30 points. So for the bonus round, your task is to name songs with the phrase Canaan land in the entire song. Anywhere in the entire song.
Anywhere
in the entire song. Canaan land. We're going to start with Brother Isaiah. How many songs do you know that have the phrase Canaan land anywhere in the song?
I can name three.
Saint Jada.
I can name four.
Brother Josh. Yeah, I see the faces. The faces look a little different now. I can see the wheels turning. Brother Josh?
That ain't in the hymnal. Ooh,
okay. Saint Jada. I think so. What's that? Four.
And the word was glory?
Canaan land. All right, so you have a minute. Go ahead.
I just had the title.
Just say it. If I can, I'll try to help you out with this one.
It's Canaan Land, my happy home.
Okay.
Okay, that's
So that's God's love and strength,
God's love,
God, you've got about 35 seconds.
30 seconds. I hate this. I had a brain fart, y'all. It happens.
It's all right. You got about 25 seconds. 25 seconds. Just throw it out there. See what happens. Throw it out there.
Anything.
Okay. That's a Gevurah Shepherd of Israel. Okay. Yep. I'm with you. All right.
That's two. Okay.
Got 5 seconds.
I got. Oh yeah.
Four.
I'm done.
Okay. Well, you know, it happened. It happened. So it looks like we have a tie here. All right. So I'm gonna do one final round, rapid fire, between Brother Josh and Brother Isaiah. You see, YouTube audience, the great thing about technology is that when it works, it's a beautiful thing. But sometimes it has its own mind, right? So we thought we just might have lost Brother Josh and we were going to have to award the inaugural episode of, you know, That Ain't in the Hymnal, you know, award that trophy to Brother Isaiah by default. But the Lord caused it to be so that we were able to get Brother Josh back. So we're going to do this bonus round. And we're going to see, let them go mano y mano and see, you know, who I was going to get this trophy for this first That Ain't in the Hymnal episode. So the word again, and again, this is rapid fire. The word is city. Mm. So how many songs have the word city? Not so much in the title, just anywhere in the song. So starting with Brother Isaiah, I think Brother Isaiah, you said two.
Yes, sir.
So Brother Isaiah said two. Brother Josh?
3.
For Isaiah?
4.
Josh?
5.
Isaiah?
That didn't end the hymn.
Josh, we need 5 songs that have the word city anywhere in the song, and you have 1 minute. Go ahead, sir.
All right. I am the God.
Okay.
Pure river of water.
Mm-hmm.
Thou art my battle axe.
Ooh, okay. What was it? 3 or 4? It was 4? It was 3?
Abraham looked for a city. Okay. Abraham looked for a city.
That counts.
And
that counts. That was 4. I think that's it.
I didn't hear you, Brother Isaiah. I didn't hear you.
I think you know, and I love the competitive banter back and forth. I think we have a, you see, and Brother Josh comes from a, you know, from a place that
mm-hmm.
you know,
well, we lost admired. Him
again. All right, so I win again. All right,
he already won. So the winner of the inaugural,
there we go.
That in the hymnal challenge is Brother Josh Toombs. Wonderful job, sir. And just thank you all of you wonderful panelists. So YouTube audience, I certainly hope and pray that you got something valuable from today's episode, just dealing with this, singing with the spirit of understanding. So certainly all of us as singers can do more when it comes to understanding the songs that we're singing, being able to kind of put ourselves in the mind of what was going on in the biblical times, what was going on in the mind of the composer, and just making them relevant to our own personal experience. Something else that I think is important, and maybe at one of our future episodes dealing with singing with the spirit of understanding, our former leader, Rabbi Levi Solomon Plummer, Grandfather Abraham, told us about the various categories under which our music and our songs fall. We talked about, you know, eschatological songs and metaphysical songs and cosmetic songs and theological songs, all those types of things. So that may be something else that we'll deal with down the line. But all those things really help to shape our musical expression. And then specifically us as choristers, not only is it important for us to sing with the spirit of understanding, but it's also important for us to try to find a way to direct with the spirit of understanding, being able to convey certain messages and certain themes and certain moods that were divinely given to our composers from the Almighty. And I'll just use "The Lord is a Man of War" as an example. In that last verse where Sister Elder Lawrence has the bass kind of leading that verse, "Who is like unto thee," right? And if you kind of feel it, there's a gradual building in that verse, right? "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like..." That part, that "who," like there's a certain amount of energy that the bass has to give to kind of get that particular phrase out, right? But it really just speaks to the strength and the emotion and the power of what it is that the Lord did, not just for the children of Israel, but what the Lord revealed to Sister Elder Lawrence in that moment. It's important for us as choristers to be able to kind of match and meet that moment, to be able to convey that in our directing. So again, YouTube audience, thank you for being part of the journey. Again, continue to like, share, and subscribe the episode. Share the good news. Hopefully you maybe even put some comments in the chat, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the next time the Choristers Lounge opens its doors. So God bless and keep you is my prayer.
So sit down at the lounge.
Elder Doctor, if I were to give you the word thankful, what song comes to mind? Thankful.
I'm thankful, thank you for my eyes to see. Thank you for giving me victory. Thank you for loving me.
Yeah.
And for this, I'm thankful.
My Lord, my Lord. If I were to give you the word soldier, what comes to mind? Soldier.
Buffalo soldier. Buffalo soldier. Will you survive in this new land? Buffalo song.
Lord have mercy, your soul. Oh, that's great. That's great. All right.
We've been waiting for so long, waiting to sing for you some of our song. We've been waiting for so long, waiting to sing for you some of our song. Bass, bitch, by golly. Acapella is the name of our group. We're doing this concert especially for you. We're gonna sing, shout, and dancing, sing. Just put your mind at ease and let us do our thing. Cherub acapella, cause we've been waiting.
Yes, sir. I loved that as soon as I heard that. I heard the arrangement first, and I just heard the original maybe about 6 months ago. That thing is, that touches me every time.
Barry Graham. Yep.
Touches me every time. So again, Courses Lounge family, we are so pleased to have again with us Elder Dr. Simon Quattlebaum.
There's plenty of things to talk about, so